is in the basement, mixing up the medicine. I'm on the pavement, thinking about the government. The man in a trench coat, badge out, laid off.
Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner, and that's Subterranean Homesick Blues by Bob Dylan. On this day in 1968, his first greatest hits album went gold. And my sense is that some of the folks in the coming state legislature may get the Subterranean Homesick Blues when we see what's lying ahead of us. We're joined here by Senator Roger Mano, who is Maryland State Senator representing the 19th District in Montgomery County and is a member of the Budget and Taxation Committee, and Senator George Edwards, who is Maryland State Senator representing the 1st District in Allegheny and Garrett Counties and parts of Washington County, and also a member of the Budget and Taxation, Senator Mano being a Democrat and Senator Edwards being a Republican. And gentlemen, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I remind you on the way to this conversation to join me at January 30th, 7 a.m. at the Governor Calvert House in Annapolis for the 12th Annual Annapolis Summit. The program features Maryland's top political leaders outlining the upcoming 2015 legislative session, including Governor-elect Larry Hogan and Senate President Mike Miller, House Speaker Michael Bush. Please go to thedailyrecord.com/Annapolis-summit for more information about joining us and getting tickets, or from Claire Sheehan at 443-524-8101 or claire.sheehan@thedailyrecord.com. And we are having these conversations every week leading up to that summit. This week, dealing with the budget shortfalls and the budget battles that lie ahead, going along with the articles in the Daily Record written by Brian Sears, this most recent one, Maryland's Budget Battle Ahead. And gentlemen, welcome. And this will be a kind of a really kind of interesting year, a very kind of different scenario. Republican governor, the House, more Republicans in the state House and the Senate. And clearly one of the biggest issues facing everybody will be what's going to happen with this budget. Senator Edwards, and I just, you know, and I know that this is, you know, when you have a situation in the state of Maryland where 81% of our budget is mandated, and that we're seeing these increasing deficits, they're saying 2016 could be $700 million, the shortfalls for revenue coming in that look even larger than we anticipated. So tell me what you anticipate in terms of where the debate will live.
You know, it will be a big change with Governor Hogan coming into office, and you know, we have a lot more Republicans in the House and several in the Senate, so it's going to make it a lot more interesting. But the biggest issue, as you mentioned, is our structural deficit, which is now Governor-elect Hogan was out here yesterday and Saturday, and understand the structural deficit is now like $1.325 billion. Which is a considerable number, and that's his main issue, is try to get that to zero as quick as possible, which I think is the right approach. But you're right, you know, 81% of the budget's kind of tied into mandated funding, whether it's state mandates and or federal mandates, but you got to start somewhere. It's going to take a period of time. It's not going to be something you snap your fingers and do it, but you got to concentrate on it, and I think that's what Governor Hogan will do. He's already commented in that direction, and there are things you can, you know, you have to look at it from a long-range standpoint. So how do you start? You know, maybe you look at freezing the budget where you can freeze it. You don't give any increases. I mean, if people are going to have to bite the bullet. He ran on this issue. People are going to expect him to fulfill what he campaigned in bringing this structural deficit down to zero as quick as possible. And basically, by the Constitution of the State of Maryland, the only thing we have to fund is K-12 education legally. Now, you know, there's other things you're going to have to fund because there are federal mandates and so forth involved. But it's going to take a joint effort between the governor and the legislature to get this accomplished, and hopefully we'll have that kind of working relationship this go around to do that.
Now, Senator Mano, you're also the incoming Senate chair of the Legislative Spending Affordability Committee, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Congratulations on that, I think.
Thank you, I think.
So, but let's talk a bit about what that means. I mean, and because there's arguments that are taking place about what it really means to balance the budget. It's in the Constitution, you have to do it. But, of course, for us, it's often meant borrowing from trust funds and other things to make that manageable. But we do have education that has to be paid for. You have to repay the state bonds, pension, retiree, health benefits. Where do you see it going? I mean, one of the things that Warren Deschanel said, that who's the director of the Office of Policy Analysis, said that it means you have to either increase economic activity or change the tax structure.
Well,
what does that mean?
Let me just say at the outset, I think the state, and I think this is important for folks at home to know, the state is doing really well. We are one of a handful of states who have a AAA bond rating. We're growing at a rate of about 4%. We're not upside down. We've got, you know, tens of billions of dollars, you know, set aside for pension payouts. There are a lot of economic indicators that Maryland's actually doing really well, and we're doing well regionally. The challenge of the structural budget shortfall is not new. It's something that's been going on throughout the recession. Senator Edwards is correct that, you know, we have a constitutional responsibility to balance the budget. And the actions that the committee that Senator Edwards and I serve on, the Spending Affordability Committee, the actions that we took a week before last, I think, resolve the structural budget shortfall so that when the incoming governor-elect is sworn in on the 21st, the problem is very manageable. So what we agreed to do, and this was a bipartisan vote, all 21 members of the committee cast the same vote on the solution to the structural problem, which is to reduce the structural budget deficit by 50% in fiscal 16, and to reduce the entire structural over 2 years, to maintain, you know, a healthy fund balance in what's called the revenue stabilization account. That's the rainy day fund. We've got $800 million sitting in there in cash. We made some changes to some recommendations with regard to issuing general obligation bond debt, which I think George and I, Senator Edwards and I, would agree was not the most responsible way to go, and maintain our workforce at about 81,000 employees.
So how does that? Let me just ask this question. I mean, when you see, and folks, you can join us here at 410-319-8888. When you see the former Senator Bobby Neal, who was quoted also in this Daily Record article, he's the governor-elect senior budget advisor, saying that that the current budget should be declared a federal disaster area. So,
I would disagree with Senator Neal. I think that, you know, we have a structural budget shortfall. We left Annapolis with a very, very manageable, balanced budget. We came back because the Board of Revenue Estimates year over year over year has written down their revenue projections. In other words, we're given a number by the Board of Revenue Estimates. They project how much money will be available to budget for the next year and for the current year. Year after year after year, those revenue projections have been written down. In other words, reanalyzed to the bad in the middle of the year. And so we're sort of in a cycle where we're told, all right, y'all can spend 10. We spend, whatever, 9. And then in the middle of that spending, we're told, it's really 7. So we have to make readjustments in the middle of the year. There's the Spending Affordability Committee recognized that there's a problem. We expressed concern. That was bipartisan. 21 members of the committee expressed concern, a pattern of inaccuracies by the BRE that's developed, which has sort of hampered our budgeting and contributed to the budget shortfalls. The other problem is that once we're given that number, we spend pretty close to the line. And the reason for that is because we're in a recession and we're trying to maintain our investments in K-12 and housing programs and workforce training programs. And this is not the time to pull the plug on those programs, you know, because of the outcome of an election.
I just want to get Senator Edwards back in. Well, in the time we have left, Senator Manuel, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But Senator Edwards, I mean, are you on that committee? Are you as comfortable with that?
Things Senator Manum, my good friend from Montgomery County, said, but keep in mind, you know, we have an executive budget in this state, the only state in the country that does it the way we do it. All the legislature can do is cut the budget. We can't add money. We can't transfer money. I do think sometimes, because if you look at the end of the year, we have a lot of deficits we have to make up in departments where, and In other words, they've spent more than was budgeted to be spent. And I sometimes think that the administration does that intentionally in the budget process to begin with, and they underestimate what they're going to spend so we can have the balanced budget, which we legally have to do in by the Constitution of the State of Maryland. So that's why I term it that we technically we have a balanced budget. So, you know, we've robbed Peter to pay Paul on a lot of things. We've robbed a lot of these fund accounts that were set up specifically for certain things. And then what we did, we turned around and borrowed money, went to the bond market to put back in there, which costs us more money down the road because you have to pay the interest on the bonds. And, you know, if you look at states throughout the country where they've cut taxes, you know, their economies have improved considerably. Therefore, their incomes improved because of the economic activities improved. I don't think the governor-elect's going to be able to cut any taxes, at least in the first year. Hopefully, you can start doing some things in the second year to help stimulate the economy, because if you stimulate the economy, revenues coming into the state increase, which helps fund things. In a normal year, say the structural deficit is zero, we normally get somewhere between $400 and $600 million new dollars, which is quite a bit of good increase in revenues, which we can do a lot of things with. It's to the point, in my opinion, where maybe I disagree a little bit with Senator Mano, is that, you know, we need to get this to zero. So there's going to have to be a couple hits on some, and it should be spread across the board and not anyone taking an overabundance hit versus someone else. But that's got to be determined by the governor. Because when the governor presents the budget, people need to keep in mind all we can do is cut it. We can't add money. We can't transfer money.
So
it lies in his lap to begin with.
So, I mean, and I think that's the piece here, Senator Mano, that I think that the Marylanders are going to be watching, because that seems to me is where the battle is bound to take place. I'm not trying to set up a battle, just looking at the reality of what Larry Hogan has said on this program and around the state about what he intends to do. And if that eventually is cutting taxes and then cutting the budget, if the budget comes in and cuts some of the programs that you and others, like in education, really think are sacrosanct, then what happens?
Well, I think education is critically important, and we have a constitutional mandate to fund it, and it's essentially off the table. I'm talking about K-12 education. I agree with.
What do you mean it's off the table? Supposing you propose something that cuts things that you think are important, what does that mean to be off the table?
Well, I think that there are ways to grow the economy and provide tax relief, which don't target those folks and our kids and those folks who are struggling to climb their way out of the recession and to climb their way, you know, back into the middle class. I don't think cutting K-12 is the wise way to go in terms of tax relief. Well, we made some pretty sweeping changes in 2012. We made our tax code much more progressive so that those folks who are, you know, doing very well at the top pay a little bit more, so the folks, you know, at the bottom in the middle can put milk on the table. We also maintained the mortgage interest deduction. That's targeted tax relief that helps, you know, middle-class families, and I think that that's kind of the way to go. What we need to do, and this has sort of been lost in a lot of this dialogue, is to grow our economy in ways that we've never done before. In other words, create business and revenue and jobs where they don't exist right now. That's the challenge, not just for Maryland, but for many other states. But it's the challenge for Maryland because we're so interdependent on the federal government. We've been disproportionately hit over the last 20, 30 years by the trade agreements that we've entered into. We've outsourced good, high-paying, you know, Maryland jobs, largely manufacturing jobs, to other states and to other countries. And as a result of that and sequestration and the recession and the collapse of the housing market, we found ourselves in a pretty tough situation. So what, you know, I think George, Senator Edwards and I have spoken about this, you know, before, which is how do you create, you know, manufacturing jobs, good jobs in Maryland that don't exist right now. And if you're going to target tax relief, I would, you know, venture to say that that's kind of the way to do it. That's creating new revenue now where it doesn't exist.
So we have a few minutes left here, and I want to get some just closing thoughts in the 3 minutes or so we have left in this conversation, and looking forward to more over the course of this session coming up. Senator Edwards, give us your scenario where you think this first session under Governor-elect Larry Hogan is going to go.
Well, I think the first year is going to be an approach to how do we get along scenario. I mean, Governor-elect Hogan's already shown he can work across the aisle, which is really important. You know, the legislature is still controlled by the Democrats. They all got to work together. We all got to work together. We all represent the same people. Mm-hmm. We got to do what's right for the state. And, and of course, the governor-elect's going to push some of the things that you just mentioned earlier that he campaigned on. I mean, and people voted for him because of these things he campaigned on, which are lowering taxes, getting the structural deficit in line, getting it to zero, in other words, and getting that in line. So I don't think you're going to see a huge big push the first year because he's only got like 2 days officially after he's sworn in to present a budget, so there's not a whole lot of time he's got to work on the budget that Governor O'Malley's put together, even though they're actually looking at it now.
I'm sure they are.
officially, he can't do anything until after he's sworn in. So he's got 2 days to present the budget after he's sworn in.
So
I think he'll work hard to work with the other side of the aisle to try to accomplish these things he wants, but you're not going to see a big push on tax reductions and those kind of things probably till the start of the second year after you get this goody-feely first year in to fill each other out and see how much cooperation there can be on both sides of the aisle.
So, Senator Mano, a very quick thought from you before we have to wrap up here in the next 30 seconds.
Well, yeah, I think Governor Hogan and the legislature can take a page out of the book of those of us who sit next to each other on both sides of the aisle, George and I, who've worked together on a lot of shared priorities of our two distant areas of the state, which is sort of Mountain Maryland and suburban D.C. area of Montgomery County. We need to revisit the restoration of highway user revenues, which both of our districts will benefit greatly from. We need to further expand enterprise zones in areas that are sort of blighted. So, we need to expand broadband deployment. There's a lot of things that we can work on that I think will benefit both our areas of the state that hopefully the governor-elect will see as areas of
Senator,
that we can get together and get some good stuff going on for the folks that pay the bills.
Senator Roger Mano and Senator George Edwards, Democrat, Republican, respectively, both parts of the budget, members of the Budget and Taxation Committee. Thank you so much for this. Look forward to talking to you in longer conversations in the coming months. Thank you both so much for the work you do.
Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you all. And on our way to break, we're hearing Fables of Faubus by the great Charlie Mingus. The song was written as a protest against Arkansas Governor Orville Faubus, who in 1957 sent the National Guard out to prevent the integration of Little Rock Central High School by 9 black teenagers. The great Charles Mingus died on this day in 1979. We'll be right back with our philosophers and the future of our lives. Don't go away.